Good morning. This morning we are talking with Michael Toth, the CEO of Learning Sciences International, a provider of e-learning and embedded learning solutions for professional development. Good morning, Michael, and thank you for meeting with me today.
Good morning.
Take a few minutes and talk about Learning Sciences International and what services you provide, and to see exactly what it is and how we can take advantage of it, we meaning the state and our coaching initiative, as well as teachers across the Commonwealth. Can you describe what Learning Sciences International is and the services they provide? What is it?
Well, Learning Sciences International is a company that I founded about 6 years ago as a spin-out from Indiana University of Pennsylvania, where I was a faculty member. We specialize in developing professional development specifically for teachers. And we work with the Pennsylvania Department of Education. We do their free online Act 48 programs that's accessible through their website. Those programs have nearly 50,000 enrollments across the state. And we've reported about 500,000 Act 48 hours from that system. Again, all of that is free to teachers. And we can provide a link for you. It can go off the website as well. In that, we've also broadened it out recently, working through several different projects, but particularly the Classrooms of the Future, and increasingly with Project 720, creating a management interface for this site that every school district will have, again, free of charge. That will allow them to create study groups and assign facilitators so that they can do cohort versions of these courses as part of their staff development, in-service staff development. It will grant Act 48 hours. In addition to that, we also have a partnership with Wilkes University where these programs can be also taken for graduate credit and lead to degrees. We have a very exciting degree that should be finalized shortly for high school teachers. Actually secondary, so it would be 712, around 21st century teaching and learning. And the degree with Wilkes University, it's a major in 21st century teaching and learning, and it has four tracks for language arts, social studies, math teachers, and science teachers. And it takes them through a 30-credit master's degree, and it also brings in partners like Discovery Channel and others where they're using differentiated instruction, project-based learning, and inquiry to really do rich projects for their kids, huge engagement activities, and it uses technology in new and innovative ways, and that's why it's attached to Classrooms of the Future. We're also working in Reading First to do an online early literacy series that's being implemented, and there is a corresponding degree, master's degree there, around early childhood literacy. It's very strong. We have something we call mini studies embedded in those courses, where it's not just online components, but also where you take it into the classroom. Basically set up a mini action research with six students, and all the skills then are taught using pre- and post-assessments, so you can show how these instructional strategies work and get results with children. And that's being very favorably received with the teachers going through that program. And we have a four-course coaching series, teacher leadership and instructional coaching. It was put together with some really leading experts, and it grants, there is a credit program on it that grants a 12 credit program that grants a letter of endorsement through Wilkes University. And those four courses include teacher leadership, coaching one, coaching two, and problem-based coaching. It really creates a very nice endorsement for coaches, and it takes them through the process of changing from teacher to teacher leader and then into coach, getting the theory framework for coaching, and also how it connects to student achievement.
LSI does a lot. A couple of things that you said I'd like to go back to. One thing that you said, something about a letter of endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? I'm a teacher, let's say, and I want to access this online course, and after I complete X number of credits, I would then earn a letter of endorsement?
Right. You can think of it basically as a certificate program. At the moment, it does not grant a certification, and we need to make that distinction. There is not one yet for coaches. We're trying to be very aligned with it since this is the department's coursework, so that we'll be able to hit that mark whenever it does come out.
Okay, but an endorsement is a good thing that, that teachers or coaches could have in their portfolio, so to speak.
Correct.
From those credits. Great. Another thing that you mentioned was about the classrooms for the future and the online courses that can be accessed.
Mm-hmm.
If I am a teacher in a school that is part of the Classrooms for the Future initiative, then I can access and use those courses.
That's correct.
If I'm a teacher not in a school district with that initiative, can I still access those courses, or would it not be valuable, let's say, to me?
I think it would be incredibly valuable. We have a number of districts approaching us wanting to participate in the courses that are not in those projects or are applying and hoping to be in the future. It is available at no charge to the district. There are self-study versions available now, which any teacher can enroll in and accumulate Act 48. For a district to deploy the managed courses, which means facilitated study groups, they would need some training around how to use the system. To do that, we're looking at creating a space available, openings for districts that want to attend those trainings. Those are at no charge, hosted by the department, and we should have dates coming out for those after the budget is decided. hopefully July, August. To see those dates, they can go to a website, which is www.embeddedlearningacademy.com, and they would just navigate to through that portal page to the 21st Century Teaching and Learning Series, and it has the dates on there. The dates also could be accessed through the Classrooms of the Future website, webpage on the department's website.
Okay. That sounds like a very promising thing for teachers and coaches to really access. Talk for a minute, if you will, about the study groups and both the facilitated study groups and the self-study groups type of things. I'm not sure if they're together or if they're separate. And I'm not sure if you know this, but in the Pennsylvania High School Coaching Initiative, one of our major components is to facilitate the implementation of study groups. And by that I mean we help coaches help organize and structure study groups in all of our schools. So talk for a minute about how that could be helpful also.
Sure. We follow a research based around what creates an effective professional learning community. And study groups are difficult. We followed actually a lot of the Annenberg research around what's difficult with professional learning communities is that they're only effective if you have structured content, you have reflection prompts, that they're facilitated, that they have a content focus. And when you go through and look, analyze that research, you can tell it would be very challenging for someone just to create a study group and grab a book off the shelf and make it work. So what we did is following that research is we took our course, the PDE courses that we create and host for the department, and we threaded a discussion group with it. We've added reflection questions. We actually created a facilitator guide so that the coach would have a structured role with it, and it requires virtually no content preparation. So the coach is not developing content, but is a guide to a group of teachers, a cohort that would be going through it. We try to optimize that at 5 to 10 teachers. If you get less than 5, it's hard to sustain a meaningful conversation. If you get more than 10, it becomes sometimes a management issue. just load for the facilitator. And as they go through it, teachers will, at their own leisure, be able to do online pieces and reflections, and there's a learning log and activities, and there are points when the coach will provide feedback to those components that are done, helping the teacher reflect more deeply, make metacognitive connections as they go through the learning, and help that individual apply what they're learning into their practice. And then we have an action research component on it, where everybody would be able to take what they've learned, use a structured way of taking it into their classroom, doing a pre and post, and really analyzing how their instruction is, whether it's hitting the goals that they want to be able to hit when they go in with this particular lesson. They bring student artifacts back, both at the low and high range, and then that's a facilitated face-to-face discussion that is already structured with protocols and reflection questions and everything for the coach, so they can hold a face-to-face meeting with it. But it makes it so that the coach does not have to do all of the planning, preparation, management. All of that's done for the coach or for the whoever's designated as a facilitator. And we're really finding that that is creating a very viable and focused and sustained professional learning community, because we find people talking about it at, you know, during their break, in the hallway, and not just on in their online discussion. We also found that for metacognition is much more effective when we have time to process. And the threaded discussions give us that kind of time before we post. And sharing student artifacts, there's just abundant research around how group analysis of student work really is highly effective at helping us improve.
That's great. I'm sitting here thinking, when I was sitting on the board for the AP test questions, one of the things we did was have a facilitated group where we drew the papers to really understand and learn what we were looking at. And so you had time to think, you had time to discuss, you had time to come back to the table. And it sounds like this is the same kind of idea, putting things together. What I really like is the idea that you're almost finding a way to institutionalize coaching mm-hmm. and any kind of study groups, because you're working, you're giving coaches and teachers the power, the tools that they need in order to be in control of their own learning and their own teaching, which I think are two really important things. I'm curious, though, with going back for a minute with the study groups and how you facilitate that. This is online, so I can have a study group. I can be a facilitator and have a study group of teachers in my own school mm-hmm. or in my own district. What about cross-district facilitation? Suppose I wanted to lead a group or be in a group with teachers and coaches from across districts.
Well, sometimes there's a challenge from the district perspective. If they're using school time, you know, who's paying for that person if you go cross districts? Our system certainly allows it. What we usually end up doing in those situations is LSI will have a facilitator that will put together a cohort across districts, usually at a graduate level, but it can be at a CPE or non-credit level as well.
Okay. So that's an option.
It is an option.
That's great. That's great. There are several statewide initiatives that have this coaching component in it. And it sounds like with Reading First, you've brought that in, and Classrooms for the Future. So it actually does seem that this could be a very integrated approach to sustaining a coaching component across PDE, across the Commonwealth, so that coaching becomes a viable way to help teachers become very reflective and to help administrators also. Now, can administrators access these courses?
Absolutely. We have, in Classrooms of the Future, there is a professional development requirement that requires the principal to take the first course, so they have the philosophical foundation of the series, and they can work to support teachers as they go through their own professional growth as they take the series and be more effective liaison and support for the coach.
With that, are you facing any issues of time? Administrators saying, I don't have the time to do that.
Yes, we do. But we do find that people make the time for what's important. In reading first, the principals were required to take providing instructional leadership and early literacy as part of that grant. It was 180 hours of professional development with a 6 graduate credit program. And in the classrooms of the future, it's much less. It's a 30-hour course. And when people see the context that some of their brethren had to take a lot more, that seems to be much more doable. But we find always that the principals, after having completed the courses, are glad that they did and can support and understand what they're looking for as they're going through the classrooms. Just as an example, you're going to find as people go to flexible small groups and act more as a facilitator instead of just a lecturer, you're going to find more noisy environments in classrooms. Now, there's a difference between good noise and bad noise. If a principal is not calibrated on that, they very easily could ding a teacher who's doing something good if they don't know how to make a good judgment on what's different. That's really why it's so important that the principal is aligned with the coach, is aligned with the teachers, all on what the instructional goal and purpose should be in that classroom.
Right. You bring up a very good point. In the Pennsylvania High School Coaching Initiative, we have a layer of support for the administrators as well as the coaches. And it is a layered approach so that we have, of course, the teachers supporting the students, and then we have the coaches supporting the teachers, and then we have mentors supporting the coaches and also mentors supporting the leadership. So it actually sounds like we all understand the necessity and importance of having the support at all different levels. And certainly this kind of learning opportunity, professional learning opportunity, opens up the access door, the portal, if you will, for everyone involved in schools. It also is a really good way, or sounds to be a really good way, of building teacher capacity.
Oh, very much. That's, I think, the whole point behind why the department is supporting these various initiatives, is to increase teacher capacity in a very purposeful and structured way, and also provide a career continuum. If you notice in the courses that there are programs for classroom teachers, there are also programs for teacher leadership and instructional coaches, and there are programs that are more focused at the principal around classroom instruction. And having the graduate credit component allows teachers to start blending their in-service in appropriate ways with rewards that will help them advance their careers.
That really sounds like an integrated approach to what they're doing and what we're trying to do across the state. Wonderful opportunities, a great resource. How can people find you and find LSI?
Well, we have a number of different websites. We would recommend that they go to the department's website, which links to our various initiatives. And when they go to PD's website, they want to click on teaching, and then on the right-hand side, there's something that says online courses, and they can find it that way. They also could go directly to our websites. We have the Embedded Learning Academy, which is embeddedlearningacademy.com, and professionaleducation.org. Those are both www.professionaleducation.org, and they'll filter people to the correct sites, and we'll provide links as well to be companions to this podcast.
Great. Wonderful. I was going to ask you if we can count on you to link us to you, and of course we will do the same. That would be wonderful. Well, Are there any other facts or factoids that you would like to insert at this point?
I think we covered the basis very well. I would encourage people, there's really no risk, to go and explore the sites and see what kind of courses that are available. If they're interested in taking it as a study group, which we would recommend, they need to see if their district is participating. And if not, encourage them to do so, because again, it's a very powerful tool. It's available at no charge to districts.
And would you happen to know in the districts who would they go to see, or does it depend on the district? Would it be the building principal? Would it be the
building
superintendent?
Principal might be the place to start.
Okay.
Every district's a little different, but usually there is an assistant superintendent for curriculum and instruction or a like type position, and that would be the one we would hope that would have the most information on the program.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for giving us our time. Very informative, very instructive. And I know that teachers and coaches and administrators are always in the market to better themselves and others and to really help themselves become reflective practitioners. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me.